Good morning and welcome, everyone. Today is July 13th, 2017. It's Thursday. This is the Doosan County Board of Commissioners convening for a workshop, administrative workshop. We have the first item on the agenda is State of Oregon Housing and Community Services Department Operating Agreement and Declaration of Restrictive Covenants for Ramsey Place.
Okay, so Arthur has done 95% of the legwork on this, therefore has 95% of the background, quite candidly, but I can give you the thumbnail version, and this is not the first time the board has considered this issue. But the thumbnail version of where things currently stand is, of course, Options is pulling out of Hugo Hills. And the way the county got that initial loan, we'll call it, to cut through some of the, they call it a bond in this, but we'll forget about that for the moment, was to agree to use that facility for a certain purpose, or a portion of that facility for, Hugo Hills, for a certain purpose, meaning mental health treatment, provision of mental health treatment services. And the county signed on for a period, I don't want to get too much into the details, it was going to go to 2026, then it moved to 2031. Anyway, point is, Options is pulled out of Hugo Hills, but the county is still under an obligation to provide mental health services.
It was also that four of the rooms had to be indigent.
Yes.
That
yes.
was the piece, that
yes.
four of the rooms have to remain for indigent.
And we are still obligated to do that. However, the state has agreed to allow us to satisfy that obligation through another facility, Ramsey Place. And so that's, I guess, the thumbnail version of what you're considering here.
So in other words, we are going to provide Ramsey Place in order to free that up?
Yes.
We already provided it. It's just putting the loan obligations on a different building.
It's okay. You're removing it from Hugo Hills, so that allows Hugo Hills to be used for anything then?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Okay. I don't know how they agreed to that, but...
It's already moving forward. It's done. So this is really just codifying this process already. So then the next step is what do we do with Hugo Hills and eventually divesting ourselves of Ramsey Place. So Options will inherit that restriction. It was, I think, the intent in 2005 to give over to Options a couple of different buildings, and that'd be one of them. There's two more, I think, that we're working on that the county would just kind of get rid of. They've been maintaining them since 2005, and so... That was the original intent. But
do they own CRC or do we?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Because
on the property, there's a couple of different buildings.
Yeah.
So there's the meeting rooms, there's the crisis, and in the Ramsey Place. So I was just curious if we have this one, what's the status of the other two?
Yeah, I don't know. I can find out.
We own both buildings. There's two.
Yeah.
I think it's 400 and 420 Ramsey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll work on getting that moved forward. Anything else?
I anticipate Arthur will present next week.
Yeah.
He's out of office this week.
Yeah.
Thus, I'm filling in.
Is this the, he's not here, let's throw him under the bus? I'm just kidding.
It is. And, so.
Well, he has done most of the work on this.
Yeah.
He has, yeah.
So, we've been working on it for a while. Item 1B is Amendment Number 3 to Lease Agreement with CASA of Jackson County for lease of county property at 304 Northwest D Street, Grants Pass. I think the schedule is reflective of previous conversations we've had to keep the existing arrangement for one more year and then incrementally over the next 3 or 4 years have it come up to full cost. The only challenge is that the full cost is assuming that the bomb rate, facilities rate, stays at its current rate, and it's not likely to do that.
The lease amendment 3 under rent section 4.6 takes that into consideration by stating annual adjustments to reflect the current facilities rate.
We're at 65 right now, and it's getting more and more challenging for Ryan to maintain that level. I think the agreement that the board set this year was the maintain it at 65 for consistency with the programs, and then if you do what you have to do, Ryan, he's very frugal, but if you need a balance, something to come up, shore up the difference, I don't want you laying off custodial people in April or May to make budget. That's not appropriate, so we'll get there. I think he'll be fine this
year. How long has it been at the present rate?
When I came into office, it was 58, and I think we held it at 60 for like 3 or 4 years. We cut, I can't remember, maybe we cut depreciation in half. We've made adjustments without trying to negatively impact programs and keeping it sometimes artificially low. It's not a reflection of cost, and it should eventually it's going to have to come into a reflection of cost and appropriate collection of depreciation. Our property reserve fund needs to be parceled out with some of the things that are in there, so there's a true reflection of what the reserve actually looks like that's available for maintenance. Because, well, Arthur's not here. He uses it sometimes as a catch-all rather than establishing separate funds. And for me, for you guys, that's deceptive unless you know how it's broken out. Not all of those funds are available to replace a Dimmick roof style. They're dedicated to other things. They're just put into the property reserve.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it challenging to know exactly what's in there without just asking for the spreadsheet. He has that. So not to belabor the cost of subject, I think this reflects your guys' previous discussions and intent.
You said there's a wrinkle?
The wrinkle he's ironed out in a section.
Oh, okay.
He's got it totally covered.
Okay.
The wrinkle that I had is that in the next
Pat's
year or...
totally covered.
Pat's got it totally... Somebody's got it totally covered on this side. There's a good chance that the facilities rate goes up.
So that was the
now
wrinkle. Okay.
And the end of this
yeah.
term. So, but there's a potential adjustment clause in there. So we're good to go.
And thank you, Legal, for being flexible with our adding a year.
Sure.
Okay. Nothing else? We can move it forward. So the first one is an administrative item. The second one is a new lease agreement with an existing...
Yes.
Tenant. I'm not so sure it really merits an administrative element, and so maybe we'll put that on to consent without objection. Okay. We can go over it later if we need to. You had another topic, which I don't remember.
It's 2B.
Okay.
Or not 2B.
So Connie's, right. And, yeah, so.
No, I asked you for something, didn't I?
Probably. And now I'm going to think about what that was.
Wasn't it something really, really... it was the minutes from the land use hearing, wasn't
correct.
It? Was that it?
That was it.
Okay, that was one of the things. I hope that's it.
Yeah, I think it was.
You want to explain kind of what happened? So a couple of weeks ago, Steve Rouse came to the weekly business session, and he petitioned the board to not approve the minutes that were scheduled on the consent calendar. I think he was confused... We think he was confused.
He was.
He was thinking about they were land use minutes. They were not land use minutes. They were minutes reflecting where the land use minutes were approved. So it's a degree of separation,
right.
Like two. It really doesn't matter at that point. But I still think we should do what we need to do.
Yes.
We need to review the land use minutes to make sure they've
been approved.
I know, but we can change them. You know, if we find that
wasn't
there's something
that
not accurate.
That we approve the land.
I don't know.
That's where
it
I
doesn't
got it,
make
that he was. You know, because I made the motion to approve the minutes, and he said you made the motion to approve the minutes of the minutes that were not correct.
Yes.
That's the way I took it.
Yes.
That it was like in the third person type thing.
Yes. It was a degree of separation there that
right.
he was not getting.
So wouldn't our target be the land use minutes?
They would. I don't recommend changing them, however. Thousand Friends of Oregon has already filed a notice of intent to appeal with LUBA, and so based on the land use minutes.
That make perfect sense.
Yes.
Go back and change it now.
You can't amend them for what they.
Oh, that would.
What if there was a typo, or what's?
Now is no. They've already filed based upon those
minutes.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
expressly upon those minutes, and we can get into that maybe next week.
So it would be appropriate though to file a secondary and say corrected, so the originals are there and a corrected version.
I think he wants to discuss it in executive session.
Yeah, let's.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a topic best suited for executive session.
All right.
Okay. We're stopping.
Sounds good. You want to? Do you mind coming up, Peter and Connie, Ms. Roach and Mr. Allen? Grab a chair. Kick Mr. Watson out. Whatever it takes. Thanks, Mike.
You bet.
Item number two is assessor.
Good morning.
We have item number A, which is IGA between the State of Oregon and Josephine County for control point data collection. If we've talked about this before, I have to apologize. I had forgotten, and I guess I requested that it just be brought to the full board so that we kind of track along exactly what we're doing, and then
Okay, so what
something were to come up that we all know.
Yeah, the first part of this is that we have been getting grants from the state for the ORMAP project, where we're trying to get everything digitized. So the state wants the whole state digitized, and they're allowing, they're giving grants based on that. And so we have some grant that pays for one of our photography staff, and then we have this other one that we request. So we went out for a grant to get control points, which is field work. You have to go out in the field and get these control points using GPS. I think I'm saying that right.
Yeah.
Basically. And so we've been doing that for a number of years. We got a lot through the city for the city ones, and we're working county ones, and Peter has been past contractor on this, but there's two steps. One is the grant, getting the grant, which we did. We were approved for the grant to do the project. And then the second part of that is we went out to bid and asked people, different surveyors, to submit a bid. And Peter is the only one who actually responded to that request for bids. And he came in just under the grant amount. So that's what we want to go forward with to do. We have done these in the past, and it's worked really well for moving us forward in the project. So that's the basics of what it is.
How many more? How long? Is this the conclusion, or is this midway, or we just...
The grants are generally for, like, this one, they're either 6 months or a year long.
They're a year long.
They're a year long on this one. Because they... And we have to have it. We tell them we're going to do a certain amount of deliverables within that year. And as Peter does the work, it would get billed, and the state would reimburse us for that cost for the amount that has been done.
Okay.
How far are you along on the whole project? In other words, you're looking at another 5 years of doing
this? Yeah, that was my question.
I'm not really sure about that. We've been doing it for a while, but there's
40% done, or
I think that they're past the halfway point. There may be another 3 years on it here, because what they've done is they just break the whole county down into different regions or sections there. So, and realizing that you can only accomplish so much in that year time frame that the grant is awarded there.
Well, and not all townships or sections or ranges are the same as far as. Complexity,
some terrain,
exactly the remoteness and the development.
We're helicoptering you into the Calmeopsis.
That's not in my budget. But so the actual control points are, we are going out and tying in available 16th corners, quarter corners, section corners, land donation land corners. The corners that are needed, it's all based on the mapping that the assessor needs, the cartography department needs to complete and produce more accurate assessment maps. There's places where the maps are almost 200 feet or more off as far as the accuracy there. And so when they look at it, it gives them the ability to look at the map and at least have a better source of information.
So you're applying for a grant every year. This one's 49 and change, 49,000. And then you're going to apply for one again next year. Is it going to be the same amount, 49.8, or do you...
It would depend on what the need is next year. So it possibly could be, some of them in the past have been smaller.
I think the other thing that depends on is that there's other counties in the state, and so I think, if I remember right, the way that Chris Parton from County's Department explained it, there's a certain amount of money or grant money that's available, and depending on how many other counties are also applying at the same time, that can become a limiting factor.
So what happens if we get done with year five of a six-year plan, and they say, we don't have any more money in the fund, do we carry the bill? Do we carry it across the goalpost?
It would probably stop the process, because we wouldn't have the ability to do it within our staff. I don't think there's going to be non-funding, because it is funded through is it recording fees? I forget what it is. There's a mechanism that constantly feeds into this fund. And basically the way the state works it every year is that there's usually a minimum that if you ask for the minimum, you are automatically got that. So for many years, it was like 10 or 11,000, and we would just do that, and we would know that we were assured of getting that much money. Other years, now we're trying to be more aggressive on it and get more of it, and so we're asking for more, but it really does depend on if there's 36 counties all asking, and they prioritize based on what you're doing and where you are in the goals, because they have their own goals, like one through whatever, that they want you to accomplish. And if you're at a certain goal, that makes matters as to how much scoring they give you to determine how much money you'll actually be granted. So we could ask for 50 and maybe not get 50 approved. We might get 40 approved or something.
As we've been in this for 3 or 4 years now, are there any counties that are done? I mean, they're all finished with their project and they don't have to go back to the well?
I think so.
I think there's a few.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why we're able to get more funding now, because there's less requests for it.
Well, it shouldn't take more than like a weekend to do Sherman or something. So, they're not all the same. Well,
I mean, you've got Google Earth and a tape measure. I don't know what the big deal is.
That's what everybody uses.
Yep. All right, this sounds good. Okay. We'll move this forward, get it done, signed for you, so you guys can get moving on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. One issue came up rather recently, and so there is a OAR that pertains to persons, including Peter, who holds certification from the Board of Examiners for Engineering and Land Surveying, and it is designed to avoid conflicts of interest. And so, essentially, it says governmental officers, including Peter in his formal capacity as our surveyor, would, per my reading, the board, the governing body, would need to provide, it says, written consent. To basically acknowledge that you know that he is a, it sounds kind of, this is real formality, okay, but to acknowledge that he is an officer within the government and that you are contracting with him for professional services outside of his capacity there.
And it was actually a question I was going to ask. Because I know that we work with you outside of the minimum that we pay you. Minimum's not even the right word. It's less than that. But I wanted to make sure, how do we...
Yeah, principally it's an issue of him, between sort of him and his certifier, him and the Board of Examiners. But in any event, my reading of this OAR does provide that if the board and part of the issue here is this would be a contract signed by the liaison, as opposed to the governing body. And so in this case, I think a brief letter to the effect that you are acknowledging that he is both an officer of the government and a person holding an ownership interest in his company would be sufficient for this purpose. So we can
prepare
something.
Do we need to do that Wednesday, or can we do it sooner?
We can put something put in the signature file. I think that would, if that suits you, it suits me.
It's fine.
Okay.
Fine by me. Sounds good. Okay. Thank you all.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Item number 3 is Department Business Transit, 2017 through 2019 Public Transit Division Discretionary Grant Award. Interagency agreement between the City of Grants Pass and County of Josephine.
Morning.
Good morning.
This was supposed to be done by July 1, but the state was a little bit behind. This is an agreement between us and the City of Grants Pass. The City of Grants Pass receives money from ODOT directly for elderly and disabled transportation, and they use that money to purchase service from us. And in doing so, then the match rate's 10.27% versus 50. So, City of Grants Pass applies for the money, and it was awarded, and then they also pay for the match. And so this allows us to receive about $153,000 a year that goes into our general operating funds. We provide fixed route transit service within the City of Grants Pass for that. So they purchase about 3,000 hours. To put that in perspective, I think our entire system is about 23,000 hours annually, so it's a small percentage of what we do. But we enter this agreement with them just because we're taking advantage of the match requirement. So that's pretty much it. And this is an ongoing thing. We've been doing this since 2010. Mm-hmm. So prior to this, or prior to, I think, 2 years ago, we were providing the local match. So they are now taking care of that themselves.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's $15,000. So mm-hmm. every little bit counts, especially mm-hmm. if we're short of local match, which we are here.
Sounds good.
In the last 2 weeks, I've in your last quarterly update, you or one of the contracts, you were talking to us about the direct service that you provide for some disabled folks. Mm-hmm. And so in the last couple of weeks, I've witnessed that transit. And there's been a couple different vehicles, and so different drivers, different vehicles, and it's interesting to see how they are. And some of them honking, saying, you know, acknowledging, but it's nice to see them out in the community doing that.
I agree. I think that's a very valuable service. And the way we provide it is very unique, because if we weren't providing it the way that we were, they could call and use the regular dial-a-ride service. But what we did is discounted the price to them to encourage them to use this large group ride. So instead of carrying two people at a time, which would take me 10 drivers, now I'm able to put them in a larger vehicle with only one driver and use this deviated fixed route. So it's very unique to what we do, but I agree 100% with you. It's extremely valuable.
Great. Thank you, Scott.
So that'll go to Wednesday?
And it'll be on the consent, and okay. maybe Commissioner DeYoung can speak to it?
Yes.
Pretty simple.
Or if you script, if you would.
Yes, definitely.
Cheat sheet.
Better make a note.
Yeah. Saves a trip, but yeah.
I'll get that out this afternoon. The other item up is my quarter report. I appreciate you allowing this. It's about a week early, but I figured if I was here, I might as well just do it.
Sure.
So there's several things that I wanted to talk about. The first one, obviously, because it's what I do, is the ridership. So June was the end of the fiscal year. Our ridership was down about 1% than it was the year before. That's disappointing to me, but to put that in perspective, the reduction in RCC students was about 6,000 people total, or 6,000 boardings total, and that would account for the entire reduction. So there was a trend that we accelerated our growth, and we were growing at double digits for 4 or 5 years in a row. And most systems, when they encounter that kind of growth, it will cap and then fall, and that's essentially what we saw. And I think that trend is now turning around. Now, 1% reduction isn't great, but if you look at where we are year to date, it's still increasing. So we're about an increase of 2%. So it's turned itself around. And there's various reasons that happens that I won't get into. The other thing I'd like to point out is our dialer or our ADA required paratransit service. That's that door-to-door stuff that you see us doing in small vans and other smaller vehicles. Those trips have actually were reduced from the year before. So what's happening is, it's been a long effort, but I encourage people to use the fixed route rather than the paratransit service. I can't require it, but you can encourage them to do it, and that's why there's discounted rates. And I put it in the terms of, and this goes out to all the clients, you don't have to call in advance, because currently to use that service, you have to call a day in advance. And then there's a negotiation period in terms of if somebody wants a ride at 9, we can negotiate to 8 or 10. So we have a 2-hour or 1-hour window on each side. So it's not super convenient, but the fixed route, you have freedom. You can just go when you want to ride. You can change your plans and do stuff like that. And so we're starting to see that now. So a reduction of 2,000 trips a year is significant. I mean, that's about $70,000-something in reduced cost to us. So I'm pretty happy about that. The other thing I wanted to talk about, there's a couple things I wanted to talk about, and then I'll jump to the main event. All the other projects that we still have going on are pretty timely. We have that transit master plan. I'm trying to wrap it up. But there was an online survey, and I think there was 150 responses to the online survey, so I was pretty impressed. But if you look at what actually was happening, I think 100 of those were RCC students alone. Now, granted, they all didn't have the same result in the survey in terms of their opinion, but to have that large block of people coming from one group kind of sways the statistics. So I'm doing a concerted effort to talk to other agencies and get them involved on this online survey as well, so I'm keeping it open. And the reason I'm doing that is I want good results. So when you add that into that, the TNC grant, which is the transportation network company, it's looking at companies like Uber, Lyft, and how that looks here. That was timely as well because Uber went to the city of Medford City Council, gave a presentation, so they have interest in moving into this area. So that's kind of timely that we jumped on this grant. And actually the state itself is really looking forward to the results. So we have a consultant that'll be on board probably next week. So
I'd be curious to see the city's response to that because of their current policy of approving each taxi cab driver and all that kind of stuff.
What goes on with Uber, and this is the legal question that's out there, and some cities are struggling with it. They're not considered a taxi company. They're considered a share ride group. So they're falling, it's semantics, mm-hmm. but they're falling outside the realm of a taxi company, and that's what they keep pushing. These are independent operators that are deciding to share rides, and yes, we pay them just like a taxi company, and we're subsidizing it, the whole thing. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I don't think these TNCs are going anywhere, but I think it's important for us to look at, can we work with them and can this model be incorporated into the services that we do?
Yeah.
Is there a way for us to increase our services, to provide more transportation to the county using this kind of model? Now, it's not the pure geometry states that you are going to always transport more people with the fixed route. It's just pure geometry because there are more people can fit on it. Mm-hmm. You're in denser corridors, those kind of things. But with that said, mm-hmm. there's other people out there that don't have access to the fixed route, be it distance or something of that nature, or it's not operating in the hours that they need it. So can this type of model, can we roll it into our service plan and provide more service elsewhere at a more cost-effective basis? And that's what we're going to look at.
I look at it as like freight and rail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rail moves freight cheap, moves a lot of it at one time, it's all going, but then it stops, and it doesn't bring it to your door.
Right.
So then you have to have that trucking aspect that comes by and picks it up at the railhead and distributes it again, and that's maybe where Uber and Share or whatever it is.
It's Lyft,
That's maybe there, and if you can work with them, you know, to where they're allowed to be at your destination, and then if somebody needs a ride to, you know, another 7 or 8 blocks, fine, they can do that.
Getting their own car. I mean, that's what the carpools, parking lots do. Is people all get together, they park outside of the metro area, and they get into one car and then drive into the city, and they get to go in the HOV lane. Whereas if they were all in their individual cars.
So we'll see.
As I've been witnessing the smaller vans, one of those was a disabled neighbor who was blind. Well, the one day there wasn't a van available, and I saw him walking towards main route, you know, and he was going to hitchhike in because he was able to get a ride one direction but not the other. And so if we had something like this that could make up the difference, you know, it's...
That's exactly what we're looking. There's a lot of applications to this, and it's driven with technology, and that technology is available to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially what that is being able to call in or text in or get online and book a ride and have that ride booking go to the person that's providing that ride seamlessly. So if you think about that, how that could work, I mean, we have vehicles out that you've seen in the community. Imagine if that vehicle was somehow being able to magically, well, technologically, match to that person that needs that ride at any given moment. We're able to do that with this technology. So there's a lot of things that we're doing that's going to be, that's going to pay off here, in my opinion, in the future. And which gets me back down, House Bill 2017. That's the transportation package. If you were not aware, there is a 0.1% employee-paid payroll tax within that transportation bill that is approved, that will go specifically earmarked for transit. So what that means is a person being paid minimum wage will pay approximately $20.22 a year into that overall funding. That provides about $92 million statewide. Now, of that statewide, the there's a certain percentage that's based on the economic vitality or the covered payroll within the county. What that means to Josephine County is there will be an allocation that's estimated of $817,000 that will go specifically to Josephine County for improvements in the public transportation system. To put that into perspective, our current budget's about, on the margin, if you take some capital projects, that's about $1.5 million. So that is a 67% increase in our budget. And these are state funds. They can be used to match federal funds and so forth. So it's a significant input in transit funding to Josephine County. There's another $4 million within that bill that's available for inner city service. So that's inner city connections, such as most of this money goes up north. But we do have some need down here, such as the Rogue Valley Commuter Line. That's inner city service between here and Medford. So I expect to apply for money to provide for that service as well. So I'm thinking we're probably going to end up with about $1 million annually. The interesting part that I found is the covered, since it's based on covered payroll, I think RVTD or Jackson County is getting about $3 million. Douglas County is getting over $1 million. So it's directly tied to the economic vitality of the area. So Josephine County, like I said, we're getting about $8 million. Put that in perspective, Coos Bay is getting about almost $8 million. So as the economic activity increases or the covered payroll increases within the area, we will receive more money. So the interesting part is any great thing presents new problems, obviously. It's great to get $1 million. The problem is to figure out how to spend it. So we'll have to submit a plan to the state and say that that's how we're going to spend
swing
it.
Shift.
Yes, that's one of the things that we could do.
Or a Saturday run.
Correct, but
not that I have an opinion on it.
I think those are very, very valid opinions, and the Transit Master Plan will help establish what we're going to do. We obviously need to increase service frequency on our routes. That's the cheapest way for us to increase the ridership. And the problem with all this is you need more vehicles. So with every opportunity comes, like I said, more problems. It currently takes me 11 vehicles to operate in peak service, which is at full pull out. It's not during the entire day, so when all the runs are running at this exact same time, it takes me 11 vehicles to operate. I have 13. So that means on any given time, I can only have 2 vehicles go out. And to also kind of put that into perspective, with our preventive maintenance money and stuff like that, that we get, we make a promise that we will get our vehicles serviced at what the manufacturer recommends. So those small or medium blue buses, those the recommended interval schedule for those is 3,000 miles. We can run 3,000 miles in about 10 days. So every 10 days, I have a vehicle going out for maintenance. So that means if something breaks, or if something takes longer to come out of maintenance, we're really pressed. So if I add more service in, I'm going to need more vehicles. So that's the first problem that we're going to have to overcome. Luckily, I do have about $500,000 to $600,000 in unused operating funds that I can transfer and get it used for capital, so I can purchase some vehicles. But then it gets back into the problem is how many can I purchase? So I can purchase the smaller vehicles. That amount of money is going to get me 3 or 4. Or I can purchase the large amount of or the larger vehicles, and that amount of money is going to get me 1, 2. So that's what I'm going to have to struggle with and do a little bit more research to make sure that I do the right thing. I will look at remanufactured vehicles. So there's a company in California that remanufactures existing vehicles. They break them down to the frame and completely rebuild the whole thing. They are put them under a new 12-year warranty. I'm sorry, it's a 200,000 warranty miles, but they have a 12-year life cycle. So it's just like if you buy a brand new one. It's just that they're essentially rebuilt used vehicles. Those are a lot cheaper, so I'm going to explore that as well.
Are there grant opportunities to look at for purchasing?
I do have the existing funds that we have right now. In terms of additional grants, we're in mid-cycle now, so there's not going to be anything for 2 years. Again, I have CMAQ money that's 2019 to purchase two vehicles. So, I mean, there's funding out on the horizon, but the thing is everyone wants service now. Mm-hmm. And then the last part of this whole equation, if I expand the footprint of the service, then there's an additional paratransit requirement. So anytime I extend a line somewhere, I have to provide that dial-a-ride service within 3/4 of a mile on each side of it. So a new route's going to require that. Any new service is going to require a driver and a vehicle, so which is doable. But if I move to Saturday service, now I'm requiring a driver, a vehicle, a dispatcher, and a maintenance person on call. So as you can see, it's going to grow exponentially in terms of what type of service gets offered. Just to put another vehicle on the road, the marginal cost of that is just the miles and the driver. To expand service, I got the driver, I got the mileage, and I got the paratransit cost. To increase hours of service in the day, then I have not only the driver of the vehicle, but then I have a dispatcher and then a maintenance personnel. And then same thing with Saturday service. With that said, I think that this $800,000 will go a long way. One of my recommendations would also be to make sure that you're saving enough every year, because there's not a requirement that the money gets spent, all of it. I think it would be in the county's best interest to set aside a certain percentage of that every year and put it into a contingency fund for various capital grants that come along. We know we have vehicle replacement requirements or any other opportunities like that, or just in terms of even a rainy day fund. This funding is set for, I think, 10 years, but the legislature wants to make sure that the money is used wisely. So they're going to be looking at it, and what they will look at first is obviously ridership. So that's the first and foremost on my priority, is make sure that we increase ridership as well as provide a better service to our residents, extended hours. So if I was going to place a list of priorities, just preliminary right now, it would be bring all of our services within 30-minute service frequency, not an hour. So that means that there would be two routes that would impact. Our existing fixed route, most busiest one, which operates at 30 minutes, needs to go to 20 minutes in order to accommodate the amount of passengers that are there and keep it on time. So those would be the first two priorities. Then extended hours, like let's say 8:30 at night. You could run a reduced schedule between let's say 5:30 and 8. So instead of running every 30 minutes, you could run every hour, because the demand doesn't warrant that high of frequency. And then it would be the weekend service. Let's see, Saturday at a minimum, and then we should probably look at expanding the routes themselves. Maybe adding another route out Highland or another east-west connection on the north end of town. And it would be a new east-west connection on the north end of town. So preliminarily, those are my priorities and what I would be recommending. But a lot of this is going to be prefaced on the Transit Master Plan, the Transportation Network grant that we have, and what that service model looks like, and a few other things in terms of getting all of our stuff together. The good news is, whatever we do, if we add more routes, or the transit hub that we're proposing on 5th Street will accommodate more vehicles, so there's a bonus. So now we're not overrunning the land that we're planning on using right now, so there's enough room available for additional routes. So that's my quarterly report.
Sounds good.
So, pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I look forward to the new issues that this presents us with.
Yeah. Well, and the sad thing about expanding the swing shift, it might increase some ridership, but it's going to be less still mm-hmm. than daytime. Saturday's still going to be less, but with more availability, you may get more ridership still.
And
I'd love to see the new Hope Loop, you know, but those are my dream.
Yes, those are definitely on the radar. I will tell you, yes, in terms of the return on your investment, the ridership is going to be less for Saturday service, but what you've done is you've established more of a long-term ridership growth, because if it sits now, Monday through Friday, it's not a legitimate long-term option for people, because that means that they don't have service or any transportation means, for the most part, Saturday and Sunday. And what if Monday is a holiday? So now we're talking Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And what's happened this year, suppose Monday's a holiday and Tuesday's a snow day. So now you're not being able to go anywhere Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And that's actually happened. But what you do by putting the Saturday service out there is you provide a long-term option for people. So while you don't see that return in the long run, I think it's a very valuable investment.
Do you ever think of like a specialty route, like for Christmas shoppers or something at Christmas time?
Yes.
Because that would help the downtown merchants and whatnot, you know, bringing people from out in the outskirts to on a Christmas. This is our Christmas schedule.
Yes, we could do something like that. There's some weird parameters in terms of what the context we can provide that service in. But I'm all about if there's a will, there's a way, and I'll figure it out. So if there was an interest to do that, I would be more than happy to talk about it. I was approached by it was the tourism director for the city of Grants Pass. It's an outside agency, a private contractor. He wanted to know if we could do something on First Friday specifically, and I said if you pay for it, yeah, I'll do it. But we'll see. None of that's really happened yet. So everything's on the radar.
Okay.
Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome.
We'll move that forward. Item number B, 3B, is airports. Intergovernmental agreement between Josephine County and Oregon Department of Aviation providing $10,241.57 grant for purpose of pavement maintenance at the Illinois Valley Airport during the summer of 2017. Isn't that now?
It's now. Yeah. Okay. So Larry's out of town, so I'm going to just present this and talk about it. So what it is for pavement maintenance, the pavement maintenance program at the Illinois Valley Airport, and it's just digging out all the cracks and putting in all the material back just to keep it maintained. Because we're going to do a major thing in a couple of years. And it's a program provided by the state but funded through the FAA. And it is a no cost to the county because the 10% match is provided by discretionary funds from another airport that where they didn't use it. So it's completely funded. And
it's a three-year cycle that FAA does. They require it every 3 years. We just saw one for the Grants Pass Airport, so this is the IV one.
Yes.
And we just happen to be in the third year on both of them. And because it's an intergovernmental agreement, it requires full board approval versus the amount would normally. It's budgeted. It's planned for. Instead of liaison being able to sign, because it's an IGA, it comes to the full board.
Yeah. Sounds good. Great. Thank you.
And so they're kind of, it's going to happen probably end of July or beginning of August. So we're hoping to get the approval and signatures at the next meeting, at the business meeting.
It'll be on Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah.
Great.
Does it, what you're going to do that, is that interrupt fire season or anything of that sort?
Well,
I mean, how long is the airport going to be down?
For that portion, it's not that long, but we have a construction project out there, too. So we've been talking with the fire organizations and agencies. We've worked out.
So our maintenance guy at the Ivy Airport is in direct communication with both ODF and BLM that are doing the fire right now that started yesterday in the county offices. He's in direct communication with the ground crews and coordinating out there. So,
yeah. We've discussed it. Both airports were going to be under construction, so we talked to the Forest Service and all the fire agencies.
Great.
About that.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks, Barbara.
We're going to table item number C. I'm not familiar with it, so there's a request, and Ms. Schmelzer isn't back yet on her trip, so we'll talk about that later. Item number four is quarterly department updates. Community development, obviously, she's not here. Transit just happened. Under five, we need JJ to come up and appoint, to lead us through the discussion of appointing of an interim public health director.
Good morning, commissioners.
Good morning. Now that I spent my week with OSU, I'm not sure I can deal with that time. Just kidding.
It's all right. To each their own. So, as you all know, our public health director's last day is tomorrow, so we need to appoint an interim director. So I have an interim director ready to go to start on Monday. That will that's Diane, in Diane's absence, the question is whether we're going to have, who we're going to appoint in as the public health administrator over the weekend. So if Diane is checking with Dr. Candelaria to see whether he will be, whether it be amenable to being appointed as the public health administrator, and then
can
having...
Can you explain the different roles in public health that need to be covered?
So typically, so I'll just explain what the administrator. So the public health administrator is a person assigned who responds to public health emergencies. Typically, that person is also the public health director, but it doesn't have to be. So what I've asked is whether Dr. Candelaria will be the public health administrator, and Cheryl Walker has agreed to be the director. She's willing to also be the administrator, but I see value in having Dr. Candelaria in that role, in that it takes a little weight off of the director's shoulders.
You want the doctor to be there not just for the weekend coming up, but
as an interim basis
until we select somebody else.
Yes, and I think that there's value in that. It's not necessary. He is our medical director, and he's still there as a resource regardless of whoever we appoint, whether it would be the director or someone else. But I see value in it. If he is not willing to do it, then we can move forward in having the interim also serve as the public health administrator. That's typically how it is done.
So would you move that changing of the time on to Friday instead of Monday? So you're covered over the weekend?
We need to have someone appointed over the weekend. Diane's last day is this Friday. I have someone set up for Monday, but not over the weekend.
Right. The emergencies that would come up related to sudden outbreak in a disease, mm-hmm. sudden this and that, has Dr. Candelaria responded at all?
We haven't heard back from him yet.
Okay.
So I don't have an answer whether he's willing to do it or not.
I mean, is it something I can cover for the weekend?
Yeah, we can assign anyone to it. Absolutely.
I mean, I've done enough on call for the last few years.
Emergency preparedness person in public health. I mean, it's in their title. Doesn't that make sense?
We can assign anyone, frankly, to it. We just need to have someone assigned, and we have to notify the state and let them know that this is the contact person of our public health administrator for this period of time. So really what I need today is I'd like to write a board order, but I don't know the particulars of this weekend, and I need to put that into the board order. So I need approval to appoint Cheryl Walker as the interim public health director. In looking at her credentials, she was the liaison to public health for 4 years and served on a number of state boards, and she has about 30 years experience as a executive level manager within government. So I thought she was a terrific
candidate. Is she not available Saturday and Sunday, so that she couldn't take it from Friday on when Diane...
She was available starting Monday.
Yeah.
She's available starting Monday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you're out. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to get.
Yeah.
I don't know Luann's background to know what exposure she has on those areas.
I don't either.
I think it would make most sense to have probably one of the commissioners, either the chair or the liaison to public health, over the weekend.
If the doctor doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my preference would be the doctor if he was...
My preference would be the doctor, too, if he's available. If he's not available, I don't mind covering for the weekend. I could handle 3 days of on-call.
Sure.
Well,
if he's not willing, long-term, Cheryl would pick it up on Monday?
Yes, she would.
Okay.
And then we'd still be looking for an administrator?
Typically, the director is the administrator.
Okay.
And she's willing to do that. And if the board just wants to appoint her as that, that is your purvey.
What's the compensation? Because Dr. Candelaria, both of them would be compensated, I think, for that responsibility, right?
I haven't even talked to Dr. Candelaria about it. We would probably have to pay him a little more as the administrator. Not very much. I mean, ultimately, the average day, he does nothing on it. It's just he's the point of contact if there's a public health emergency.
Okay.
And then the compensation for Cheryl Walker is I looked at the various options. The best option is to bring her back as an employee. And so I would...
You mean a contract employee?
No, because she wouldn't qualify as an independent contractor.
To be an independent contractor, you have to work for more than one employee. You can't be directly appointed to one employee.
Well, there's a whole bunch of different criteria.
Because we've contracted with Rosemary Padgett. She was only employed by us.
Well, there's a number of things. Depending on who you talk to, they look at different things. So the IRS has a list of 20 things they look at, and you don't have to qualify for all of them, but they'd like to see a majority.
Right.
And if you're dealing with BOLI, they have a different list.
Right.
And so it depends on who you talk to.
But this is a non-union position, right?
It would be a non-union position, yeah.
Okay.
But because Cheryl hasn't done other work as a consulting role,
could her time as the four committees be considered? No, because she was a commissioner. Okay.
Yeah, she just doesn't really qualify as an independent contractor based upon her history.
Okay.
She doesn't have an independent business. She doesn't do consulting for other folks.
Right.
So it makes most sense just to bring her back as an employee.
And she's an independent contractor. You would write her company a check, but nothing taken out.
Yeah.
No obligation by the county, by finance, to pull out workers' comp rating and that sort. So
and typically, so if I'm going to pay an independent contractor to do that job, I'll probably pay him $75 an hour or $50 an hour, something like that. Probably more like 75 because we don't pay the FICA taxes. We don't do any of that. We'd say, here's your, and you deal with it. If they're an employee, then we do pay those things. So that I would put her into the scale and pay her accordingly an employee.
I know we haven't talked to the doctor yet. It'd be nice to kind of hear from him, but it'd be nice to sit down with three of us and kind of have that conversation of what role, what particular where we're going with this. Because there's also some of the conversations that have come up is just time clock and time off approvals and all this other kind of stuff. So we come up with a even though I haven't been here, I've been on the phone and email a lot. So I've still been dealing with some of this stuff. But we come up with a list of who would be appropriate. And in the end, it's like, let's wait till Monday, sit down with Cheryl, and actually see what level she feels and assign who would be those appropriate folks. But I think the first thing we need to hear from is the doctor and what he is willingness to fill in the gaps kind of thing.
Well,
and I like the separation of the two if he's willing to do it.
Yeah, really the only role he would be serving is he is the point of contact if there is a public health emergency. That's really what the role would he be as the assigned public health administrator. Cheryl would be the public health director who would run the day-to-day operations of the totality of public health.
This is where a deputy director would have been nice. I think then she could be the administrator. The deputy director can run the day-to-day in the building.
But it's we're not quite there yet on that one, unfortunately. So really what I need is the board all right with moving forward with appointing Cheryl Walker as of Monday as the interim director? And then since I haven't heard back from Dr. Candelaria...
You have to appoint a substitute and just go with that for the weekend. I don't want to wait. It's just a weekend. It really doesn't matter. It's the initial point of contact. And frankly, having Dr. Candelaria, which may or may not have the kind of context that you have, you know, like my number, Dan's, we don't need to get that to him for a weekend.
Yeah.
So for the weekend, let's just move forward with an order that appoints Commissioner Morgan as liaison to be the administrator.
So
and we'll do the director, CW, on Monday. And you can have that conversation about how does it go forward. Yeah, maybe CW is the administrator. So
yeah, maybe I think it'd be great to ask her, you know, leave Commissioner Morgan in there till we have a conversation with your interim director. You know, you're going to have this, and this. He goes, I don't need that. She may come back in a week. I don't need that.
Yeah.
That was my other thought about compensation. It's not the same. I mean, what we're asking this director to do is not to run the department the way Diane has been running.
No.
It's to fill in on an administrative level.
It is.
And frankly, I'm not so sure that one of us couldn't do that HR function.
I know I can do time clock over that too. I can do, yeah. You know, I already have experience with it.
Well, somebody
it,
would know. Do time clock over sure. there. You just make sure that it's all done and yeah. oversight.
No, I know, but...
No, I'm not doing time clock. No,
having some of those conversations of what roles, and, yeah. and part of that is my intent was to sit down with Cheryl on Monday and kind of say, okay, this is where we are right now. This is kind of where we're looking at. I mean, there's obviously some other conversations we're having with...
specify our intent.
Yeah. Some of the concerns is the people that are direct report to Diane currently mm-hmm. and who those people need a direct report to. And some of those details need to be worked out sooner than later. So that's the intent for me for Monday morning is to sit down and spend time up there. And if there is things that the board wants me to fill in, I will.
Well, and I think as appointing an interim director, that person's job is to run the department. Mm-hmm. The people that report to Diane report to that person.
Right.
And her job is to run the department and keep it. I mean, she's not there to make institutional changes. She's there to keep it operational.
Right, right.
And to provide some leadership and stability while...
Yeah,
while
for the first couple of days, she needs to get her feet on the ground, and so she should be there. But she'll know how much time to spend up there. I think a director... that isn't the board is a positive thing. You have a schedule that you're looking to be out at the end of the month anyway, so it's like you wouldn't want a week of a gap anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not going to belabor the point, but there are some potential political issues with the liaison and the office, and mm-hmm. I think that would be a very appropriate, like, not just like a buffer. You know?
Yeah.
We can still orchestrate what needs to be done up there, but it's in tandem, it's in conjunction with someone else. I think that would make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So let's move forward with that structure.
So what I'll do is I'll finish the board order. I'll put into it that Commissioner Morgan will be put as the public health administrator over the weekend, and then I will shore up over the next hour or so whether Dr. Candelaria is willing to fill that role, and if he is not, then we'll put... Cheryl Walker as both of those roles starting Monday, and then I'll have it put in the signature file so we can sign off on it and move forward. Is that amenable to?
It's fine, but I don't know that you need to achieve everything you were looking to. We can do some of that on Monday. We can have separate orders just to appoint Commissioner Morgan as the administrator over the weekend. So don't try to do too much.
Yeah.
Let's just go with it that way, and then take some time. Let's not rush the conversation, because I'd rather. You know, Dr. Candelaria might say, well, if you're pushing me into it right now and I don't even have a weekend to think about it, the answer is no. But if I have a weekend to think about it, the conversation you can help orchestrate on Monday with Cheryl, Candelaria, and yourself, then
and
it gets
any,
worked out on Monday.
Is there any reason why you can't word it that Commissioner Morgan will be the...
administrator until...
administrator until replaced.
Yeah.
So you might be there for 5 days or a week or something.
Mm-hmm. My compensation doesn't change, so...
Oh, it's not. Yeah, that's a good part. That's where we're talking about.
We're saving money, dang it.
Yeah. Well, that's a less position. We're going to have to drop you down for a few days.
This is a small thing. I didn't appoint a commissioner for 30 days to save $6,200 of a salary. I've filled in as administrators before.
Yeah,
it saves money. It's really nice.
It would give a little bit more breathing room if you just worded it so that...
Sure.
Morgan is in that role until a replacement is found or other arrangements are made.
Sure, you gotta do that. Other arrangements are made.
That way you're not, Monday you're not scrambling old. Man.
Yeah, it doesn't need to expire.
Well, I know that I had mentioned to you both that we had had an official request in the past about moving animal control officers to the sheriff's office. I have been working with legal and JJ and Arthur since then on what does that look like.
Sure.
It kind of upped the ante with our lead ACO stepping down, with the director stepping down. But we were trying to be very intentional to have it sorted out so we come back and present. There's still a need to have the shelter remain under public health. There's some quarantine and medical stuff that falls under the public health domain, but the officers themselves that are... armed, that have due process requirements, evidence collections and such to what we're trying to do is be intentional that as the sheriff's recruiting for these other positions, he has stated what he needs to make that successful, and we want to kind of wrap that into that process as well.
Can you look into environmental health also being transitioned out of public health and into community development?
That's at the same place that I had thought of as well, so I'm glad we're on the same page with that.
Sounds great. Yeah. We need to refine public health mission to its core, and I think that'll be real positive. For having a director who can manage a program that's in a particular wheelhouse where they're not things that are like, well, I don't know anything about animal control and the shelter, you know. Having that varied resume makes it more challenging to fill that role. So are we advertising for the director as well as the a deputy director still?
Well, we have a deputy director posted already. We're closing we're getting to the end of the first review, and we actually have quite a few good applicants for that.
Great.
And when ultimately the decisions on what will public health look like in the next months or whatever, the board
will have to discuss.
Obviously,
we're not letting the director hire the deputy director like we normally would, so we're going to have to.
Yeah.
I think we need to actually have that conversation. Should we hire the director first instead of inheriting a deputy director we just hired a week before them, theoretically?
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, if we have this structure, if you work it out on Monday, that it'll work for a little while. I wouldn't like coming in as a director and say, wait a second, you just hired this person? We aren't seeing they're not complementing my skill set, because we don't know what their skill set is. So my recommendation is that you hire the director first and let them maybe work as a partner with the liaison.
See what
you,
the requirements for
you. Know, that, yeah.
Job description for
right.
that position. I just want to know, okay, well, I've got this over and over and
sure.
over and over and over again. Very, very simple question, no answer. I've got compounds where they have a little trailer house and they dump the sewage on the ground. Now, if I own a house with three kids in it and I have this hint that my leach field has failed, there is an organization that comes out there and condemns that and tells you you've got to have that fixed and dig that up, and they're going to come out and inspect you 15 times in the next 30 days. If it's not fixed, I'm going to shut this house down and condemn it. We go to something like that, and there's absolutely nothing happen. Why? And where do they go?
I think it's DEQ. That's who's...
That is DEQ.
Who's putting
okay,
it...
If that's DEQ, then I'm going to have a conversation with DEQ.
Well,
matter of fact, they came out to our house, where I've been spending all this time and seeing transit come and go out off of the New Hope area, and they came out and actually deemed ours fine, which we were scared, because if you're turning it DEQ, you're toast, and... high water table and all that kind of, we were good. So it's like, stay away, don't come back. But no, that is DEQ.
But
the other issues.
They're out there at your place, but why aren't they out there
enforcing those other violations?
Yeah.
And then it's not ours. It's not our responsibility. When there's a state agencies that's chartered just for that issue. Anyway, I would encourage maybe reach out, if you're going to reach out to them, invite them in to talk with the full board and have Brad here and Julie, Ms. Schmelzer, so we have an understanding cumulatively in legal about what are the nexuses that they do. Maybe we're putting painting a broad brush, and they're saying
on the
we
spot.
Only do it if it's this, this, and this, but we don't do those over here. It's like, well, okay.
Yeah. But if we put them on the spot when they say, yeah, that's in our wheelhouse, then why aren't you taking care of it then?
Yeah. Who's liaison to Regional Solutions? It falls in that wheelhouse. The state agencies under Regional Solutions are supposed to be coordinating for regional benefit, and that's the governor's, you know, bringing her offices to the table.
But I am liaison to state, so is that something we should rethink of? We gave you Regional Solutions before we did the liaisons to the local.
So you want to take Regional Solutions? I love it.
No, I'm just wondering if it's appropriate.
It's not a bad...
The torch has been passed.
That makes sense.
I really don't think that's a bad idea. I think that's probably more in your wheelhouse.
Okay.
So you're going to take Regional Solutions.
That means we are going to pay you this week. I'm just kidding. That was a good idea. Okay, let's move forward.
Right.
Thank you, JJ.
All right.
Yeah, you know, I just want to say thank you for thinking outside the box. I quite honestly was a little like, what are you thinking when you first called me? And
well, I think Wendy came up with
yeah.
it. Somebody
yeah.
came up with the idea. And that
yeah,
was,
it was. I'll give full props to Wendy. She's like, well, what about her? I hadn't yeah. thought of her.
And it is going back to different skill set and different things, and this is in that skill set. But I appreciate our staff coming up with a solution when we didn't have one. And
on such short notice.
Absolutely. And just I mean, between you and Carlton on Friday answering my calls and just basically calming my fears of, are we going to be all right? And you guys, we got this. It's okay. And so I just want to say thank you and appreciate all those efforts. And literally, it's round the clock that you guys have been responding to my stuff, and I appreciate that. And we're also going to meet with Sandy and go up and do a training up in the office and just kind of shore up some depth of training so that it's not based on one person. It's a unique spot to have our administrative supervisor walk out, our lead ACO walk out, our nursing supervisor to be on FMLA, and our director to leave. And so literally, we have an opportunity to rethink public health in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And not every day we get a chance to say, great, let's take what's good and refine it. Let's take what could be improved and improve it. And we're at that place.
Good. Sounds really good. Okay.
Thanks,
JJ. Matters from commissioners. Commissioner DeYoung?
Yeah, I went to RV Act the other day, and of course, everything was really excited in the room because the transportation bill passed. So
right.
A lot of different things that came in with that. It's going to mean over a 10-year period, around $2 million a year will come to Josephine County. I haven't had a talk with Mr. Brandis yet, but as to what he plans to do with that. But I'm going to set up a couple of days with him next week. Then I'm going to go put on my public works vest and do it right along and see if I can get a handle on that particular portion of the county government.
Can you shepherd bringing that draft performance review to the board? I know, Arthur, I've read it, too.
Okay. There's a lot of recommendations in there, and I think going through them was a good thing as far as it might be have... I don't know if it's Arthur and Rob and who else would need to be there, but I think it'd be good to just go through those recommendations as a group and talk about them.
As a full board.
Mm-hmm.
I do too. So we need to set that up next week sometime?
I think so. We need to make sure that Mr. Toller, he's the contractor, is... We were supposed to submit any kind of recommendations for things that we wanted to see change. That's why it was still in draft.
Got it.
And so Arthur was going to provide those to him. I think it was last Friday was the deadline because he was leaving. And I had a handful, very, very small. I gave those to him. And so if you didn't...
Well, I didn't realize we can change anything in it.
Well, it was clarifications on different things.
There was
I want in there. We need to refine a policy of not accepting any more county-maintained roads.
Yeah.
Or if we do, what are the criteria? And the other one is you need... Commissioner DeYoung, definition or clarity of jurisdictional exchange. They want to give us Lower River Road, right? Lower River Road.
Lower River Road, yeah.
You know, frankly, it makes sense, and they've got money now. So we don't take it for free.
No, absolutely.
You know, there's a 20-year maintenance schedule assigned to that. So it's a balloon payment, I guess, up front. They have money to give. But we should be looking at the same thing of we can't maintain our infrastructure, so what are we doing to get it to a manageable portfolio. 560 or 80 miles of road is obviously too much. We can't take care of it. So are we letting some roads revert to gravel? And what does that look like?
That was one of the recommendations to see what can be reverted. Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that we are have by far the highest culverts in the state, or our comparables. But the other piece is not everybody else is chip sealing like we are. And for me, it brings the questions of why is that our maintenance route versus asphalt like others or various things? What is the most cost efficient or ongoing stuff? So granted, I'm not the liaison, but it brought up questions for me as far as there were areas that were unique in. Why are we unique? Mm. If it's unique, is it actually cost savings or is it costing us more because of how we're doing it? And the other question comes up with our engineering. There was questions about what to do with our engineering and stuff, and I think that's a good timing.
Well, I think that's going to be one of the questions that I'm going to have for Mr. Brandis is, let me see your list of capital projects you've done in the last 5 years. I don't think there's a need for as much engineering as we have on staff out there.
Well, I think staffing
is... it seems like engineering just seems to be standing around, not standing around. Engineering is on staff, and every time they're brought up to something brought before them, I don't see them looking at it as how are we going to get this done. It's how, why can't it get done? And that's
road plugs.
That's bothering.
Driveway access.
Driveway access. I was out on one out on Mountain View Place the other day, and the neighborhood wants to put a 15-mile-an-hour sign up because the road's rough. Kids playing in the street. No curb gutter sidewalk. And our public works says, you put those up, we'll tear them down. That should be 30 miles an hour because this is the traffic study and the engineer and all that. I said, wait a minute, are you kidding me? But there is an Oregon administrative rule that says that if it falls into this criteria, you can put it in the neighborhood, you can put anything they want up there, just have to notify.
Thanks.
So I've got that in my truck. And it's not being followed out at our public works, and I need to know why. Anyway,
it's been a frustration of mine. The duplication of finance recording. Mm-hmm. We don't have time for that.
Yeah.
You can do that if you have a $90 million reserve, but you don't, and you're not meeting your minimum maintenance requirements, and you don't have a 5-year capital plan, and you.
Yeah.
There are some serious shortcomings there.
Well,
that
I've got my talk about Mrs. Ray out there on New Hope. She has a problem with a corner in front of her house. And
we all have examples of public works,
yes,
that is just, they're not looking for solutions.
Community service-oriented solutions as well.
Yeah.
And that all of us have talked about that we're public servants. What does that mean?
Eric in that office, I have to say, has always received 100% positive feedback from clients that have come in to my office when I was liaison, and even still, I mean, everybody says it feels like Eric really wants to help, and then he goes back into the back office
and it stops.
It's yeah.
That's the reports I get too, is when someone says, I can help you make that quick, and then somebody else stops it, and it's like, that's the piece that I don't want the public experiencing unless there's a really important need for it.
Then you get to Phyllis Ray, and she calls me, and I go out there, and I say, you know, this looks pretty simple to me. This looks like a pretty simple fix to me, and I go back to Public Works, and it's, oh, absolutely not.
Yeah.
So I've, you know, kind of given her a light at the end of the tunnel, and then I can't deliver? That's not right. I should be able to, I think, just feel like when I say, okay, you have a problem. This is her problem.
We're going to fix it.
And we are going to fix it, so you tell me how it's going to get fixed.
Yep.
And that's it. So let it be written, so let it be done.
In a timely manner.
In a timely manner, yeah.
Not in 18 months.
I want it done by September. So there's your challenge for this afternoon.
Weeks. Yeah.
So get with it. And why are we standing? Why are you looking at me? And you need to be working on this thing.
Yep.
And that's why I'm to that point. But I thought I would try to go about being the nice guy, but that didn't seem to be working out there. So.
Well, we're elected to be
exactly
the ones that stand in the gap
for
the
folks.
We serve
them. We don't serve.
We're the ones who get to cut through the bureaucracy to get the needs of our community. Yes, that's our administrative function side of things.
I've to express
and they're going to have
directed that we're not protecting her fence out there.
No.
We're protecting our citizens because her fence is getting wiped out by people rolling over, not because her fence is in the way.
No.
They're not deliberately rolling the car to take her fence out. They're rolling the car because the street is inadequate. And the road is inadequate.
And they're always going to have excuses, frankly. And I don't want to hear them. I don't want to hear one more excuse about anything.
Yeah.
Because when you have a client that walks out of that office with a less than accurate reflection of what they just thought they understood,
it reflects on the whole county.
Yeah. It's like, I can't deal with the county. You know?
Yeah.
It's just, they shouldn't have a misunderstanding of what the system is requiring of you.
They shouldn't be able to come to this building and leave with a positive taste in their mouth and go out there and have it all blown out of the water.
Yeah.
And they leave there mad because they won't come back here. They go, you know what? These people aren't in charge. Those people. We're in trouble.
The other thing is that if any one of us were to go sit in one of those meetings with Public Works, I bet you'd get a solution out of it. Why should we have to sit in every single one of those meetings? It should be as though we're there every time.
And maybe we have to do that for a certain amount of time. Maybe we have to sit down at every one of the meetings so they get the trend that it's going
to
happen.
You know what, though? We shouldn't have to.
We shouldn't have to.
A good use of my time.
Us saying that we want it done should be enough that every ounce of that organization understands.
Director should go back to his board and say, this is our challenge. Let's get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're not asking them to build the bridge over the River Kwai. We're asking them to fix the corner.
Well, they got that done.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that Commissioner DeYoung?
Yeah.
Commissioner Morgan.
So I just want to say thank you, guys. I it's very odd to take time, and partially in the community and partially off. But then I also had the all hazards emergency management. It was the public information officer training that I brought to you guys a month and a half ago or so in Corvallis the last 2 days. You know, I'm really, it's timely, I guess, as we're hiring an emergency services manager and looking at potential planning and different things to get going. It's very timely to see how other communities are doing it. Corvallis is unique in that they have the university there that has their own little microsystem. They have the city, the county, all focused really right in Corvallis, essentially. And everybody was present. And there was a couple folks from other counties, Linn County, Yamhill, Lincoln, and me. And so I was the furthest one away. I was the only elected official there. All of them served roles in various capacities. It was a really good spread of folks there. And so to see how other folks were doing it, and each of the groups were broken into groups, were given scenarios to kind of play out. At which point do you notify, you know, this is when you notify the public, this is when you have a press conference, this is where you go from here, what are you working on, what plans do you have in place? It was interesting hearing Linn County and Benton County, who border, who are tied to a river, to talking about they all have their plans and none of them communicate. Some will be cut off from here, some will be cut off from there. Bridges, do we have even an inventory of our bridges? And this goes back to Public Works. Because what routes do we take if there is a 7.2 earthquake and bridges and transportation routes? And it really just reminded me how important it is to have your plans in place before something happens. So when something happens, we actually know which routes to take. So,
well, another thing, we need to be considering crossings on the Rogue River other than 6th and 7th Street Parkway.
Yep, and the walking bridge.
Because if, for instance, if those bridges wiped out, it's going to take years to put them back up. So where do you go? I go down to Lathrop Landing and go right across on city property, put a temporary bridge across there, come out on Leonard Road on city property again, and you're done. I mean, what do you do? What do you have in place to put in a real quick temporary bridge? Just like with the aqua, if the viaduct falls over there, I've got a route lined up for them to go right on to use. I says, why you're not using, what is that, Biddle Road that goes right across in front of Sears and everything and ends at Hawthorne Park? Blaze right through, take a cap, take an 8 in, or a 10 in the nighttime, and you blade down houses and everything you do to get back over that ball field at Barnett Road, and you just bypass all the way through and get back on the freeway at 62. Let that thing fall, because you're not going to be able to say, what are we going to do now? You know, and I think we had a conversation when the OTC was down, and John Biles was trying to get Highland put around as a bypass, and they, well, you know, see if you can come up with another $50 million, and then we'll talk. And I said, no, that's not. You know, John Biles has $20 million already set aside towards that project. What I want to know from the OTC is what your commitment going to be. Find out what your commitment is, and then I'll try to. You know, you're going to take $70 million, and then I go back to my people for 30, knowing that 70 is available if we get 30.
Yeah.
Then for you to say, come up with another 50, and then we'll talk. That isn't going to get that project done, and I hope they took that to heart, because we need to know what the commitment is from those other people. But I would be looking at, where does the bank meet the river in the shortest crossing, and it might be Lathrop Landing down there.
And really, that comes down to the biggest part and most important thing as a community we do is our preparation planning and identifying in the private sector and different community groups who our resources are, who our people are, and really just outlining a plan. And it's, Jenny keeps coming to us with plans. Hey, we need our
continuity of operations.
Thank you. COOP plan. We need this, we need that. And really, that was reiterated this weekend. And it was taught by FEMA, a couple of retired Air Force folks that went on to do different things. It was well done. They've offered to come and do some senior level trainings if we want to host. Mm-hmm. FEMA covers the cost. They also said if we want to go to their place in Texas and they put us through scenario stuff and they work with you directly, they'll cover the cost if anybody wants to do that. They want to be available to help us through the process. So I thought it was timely, and I really appreciate you guys letting me do that. I am sorry about being gone when our director resigned. Thankfully, I called in because it was my Friday of my last day of vacation that I called in and get an update, and so spent the phone calls and came in on Monday, and I didn't see you when I came in on Monday, but it was here for a couple hours on Monday, and just kind of going from there. So
I think it's important to keep connected to you know, JJ in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had an expectation of meeting with you, and I don't know that that was accomplished on Monday to give a chart for it, and I'm happy to fill in.
I stopped by his office on Monday. But I
might have been just a miscommunication about which where and how.
And in my phone call with him, he had said, "Oh no, we're going to do this," and so I thought the meeting was off. So that might have just been a miscommunication.
Yeah.
But I did come in on Monday, and so that makes sense. And
well, that's one of the reasons there's three of us. But you know, frankly, I keep coming back to the idea that that's sometimes not necessarily all of our roles. When I first took office, we had a CFO, and that was her job. It was Rosemary, and she handled stuff that, you know, got lost in the cracks. And I really appreciate that. I didn't continue that position because of fiscal situation 4 years ago. And frankly, I could do it. But I'm not getting paid to do that necessarily. None of us are. And it's sometimes so far out of our wheelhouse. You know, it could be like a foreign element, and we could mess up, and I don't want to see that. So I think it's something we should be considering, reinstituting a something. We don't need a CFO. We need probably an operations person, not as a substitute for the administrative level that we do. That's really important to me, that we not emulate the structure that Jackson County has. And there's few people probably here who really understood what Rosemary's role was. And she really moved projects along. She sat right there through all of our workshops, and she kept us on track and moving ahead on a whole host of things. And she could take the slack if there was, you know, she would have been the person we would have appointed over the weekend probably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she just has that knowledge, and it's in her wheelhouse. And so anyway, something to think about, because these things, you know, I think a member of the press has asked for the turnover rate in our managers in the last 6 years. You know, it's gone up and it's gone down. It just happens. And I actually encourage managers at some point, you know, this isn't supposed to be a life appointment. You do it, get in, do what you're supposed to do. We've had several fair managers who all have different takes on how the job should be done, because the fair is at different stages of development. And so some people's skills work really well at certain times, and then other times, you know, it's like, okay, you've plateaued. Go do that same thing somewhere else. And
well, and really to answer that question about the manager turnover, we have to go back about 10 years when the changes in PERS, the changes in caused a mass exodus of longtime employees
mm-hmm.
and managers.
Yeah.
And so there's been transition since then of, okay, what's our new fit? Where's our institutional history? Where's our... just kind of feeling it out of where are we at now. And you're right. I mean, Marie Hill is who hired me when I first became a probation officer. She went on to be a chief operating officer for the county before going to Aspire. Abe was there 10 years, and now we have someone who was hired by Abe in Jackson County who's now the director. So he's got 15 years in the industry, but new to our, you know, county still. I don't know. I think it's kind of good to assess where everything's at, but there has been a lot of changes that we did not necessarily start.
Right.
That the ball started rolling when the state started changing some things, and it created this whole new era and kind of where we're at. But I think for me, the last couple of days has just been realizing that, again, going back to, we have the ability. It's not easy. Our job is not easy to be the administrator and the governing body with the public meeting laws, but we do have the ability to communicate, at least saying, FYI, you need to know I'm doing this. FYI, this is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe someone sending a back, thanks for the update. I got it. Or something like that. We're not having conversations. We're not deliberating to think, but we are sharing information. And I think we have to be deliberate in sharing information. I had come in and asked if y'all knew about Diane already, because there hadn't been an email. She didn't send anything out, but I was told that it was known, so I didn't send something out. But I think it still would have been better for me to send something out and say, by the way, this is what I'm doing. I'm in communication with JJ. I'm in communication with, the department. I've had employees calling me asking just kind of where they're at, what they're needed, offering to help transition and different things. I know for me, I'm not wanting to let any ball drop, but at the same time, I didn't communicate with y'all, so you guys didn't know, hey, is Lily working on this? Is she even aware? So, again, getting back to, we have this unique situation of being a three-in-one kind of thing, but if we're not communicating, it leaves questions and can create fears or doubts or questions. And I'll have to follow up with JJ about Monday, because in our conversations where we had left it is he was talking to Oregon Health Authority. He believed they would provide an interim and had said, just wait until we hear back. And so that's why I had put off that I didn't need to the meeting. Even though I came in, I didn't have that meeting. Then it turned into they don't have somebody. Which there's still a question about that. I need to follow up with some Oregon Health Authority folks. And I have some emails and phone calls going with that.
Great.
But I just wanted, we are really lucky, I think. Lucky is not the right term. The time and the place right now that we have you with your experience, you with your
age.
Experience.
Go ahead, Sam.
And wisdom.
My age and wisdom.
And
plethora of hair.
And hair. And I know it's not always going to be the same. I don't know what next year is going to face and all this kind of stuff. But if we're going to continue to be efficient and effective and just communicating so that we do the best that we can do. And so for my part in that, I want to apologize and also just encourage us to keep communicating. I know there's different meetings that have been going on this week and people filling in for, well, Lily, you're not here, so I got this or that. And I was kind of like, well, wait a second. Why didn't anyone tell me that was going on? And at the same time, why didn't I tell anybody what I was doing so we're not duplicating efforts and stuff like that? So the more we talk about it, the more we'll be cohesive and, I think, successful in our endeavors. So,
yes.
Fair Board, we have a vacancy on the Fair Board. We've got some pretty good applications. How do you want to proceed? Do you guys want to have interviews for those
however you want
people?
You're the liaison. You make the
if I kind of pick out three or so that I think are really
there's four openings.
There's four on the Fair Board?
There's four openings on the Fair Board. There's five applicants.
Dropped off. I know Mary Grove stopped.
No, there's.
I would recommend you talk to your fair manager. I know there's
she'll be back today sometime.
Okay. Based on the last round, there is one applicant that there's high concern over, so I would recommend that you talk with your fair manager over that.
I'll talk to her because we've been in many conversations about the applicants, and she has it.
Okay.
I'd rather see you rate first and review your ratings, and then whoever you want to interview would be great. I'd almost delegate that to you to make that recommendation to the board. Ultimately, we make the decision. But if you went through it, I don't know that I need to. You know, I'd feel comfortable with your recommendation.
So if I want interviews, I could just do that.
I'm okay with that.
Say me and Dan Shepard and Peggy.
Mm-hmm. However you want to structure.
I'd be okay with that too.
Okay, all right. Sounds
it's
good.
Not as it's
That's
the most.
To move forward
it's with. Really the most official. Next to the Rural Planning Commission, I don't think I delegate, you know, for that one. I think we need to be on it for that. But anyway, that one sounds great. If you want to move it forward,
I'll set it up.
That's probably going to be more expeditious because if you're out at the end of the month, we wouldn't have an ability to have a full board. For
I'm just on the 24th to 28th that one week. Just so you know what I'm doing. Our county partners with, not the county, but a local organization partners with child welfare in our county to take foster kids to a camp.
Mm-hmm.
And we had 80 applicants this year.
Wow.
And they needed extra volunteers to make it possible for these kids. Last year I went for the first time. Your whole thing is to make it special for these kids for a week.
Yeah.
I was surprised how many kids I knew because of my career. I was surprised how many kids are related to other kids at camp. But one of the tasks they put me in charge of was signing the kids out to their foster parents. So I was checking IDs, making sure who's clear to go with who. And it shocked me how many related kids went to different homes. So that 1 week is the only week they see their sibling or their cousin in a year, if they get to do that. And it's very emotional. I mean, you get tied to these kids.
Sure.
But there are kids. And to me, I see it as...
Where's the camp?
It's at an undisclosed location outside of Josephine County.
Okay.
But it's one of those things that it's... if we're not taking care of our foster kids, they're the future, same as our juvenile justice. And so, anyhow, that's the opportunity, is to just kind of give back for that week. So I apologize. It's the last week in July. And
sounds good.
I didn't mean to correspond with everything else, but that's what that one will be. Fair Week is the 16th through 19th. Last year I drove a golf cart. I was hoping to be available and do stuff.
We don't do that kind
Cheryl
of
did last year.
She shouldn't have.
Oh, okay.
There's work to be done here, and it's I think it's distracting. If it's in an evening kind of a situation, that's perfectly
okay.
It sounds reasonable to me, and I can't tell you no.
Yeah.
I can tell you what I would do with my time. I would do it in the evening, and I think you're going to have more people there.
I did 5 to close last year.
That sounds like a long evening, but yeah, it's a good PR place to be and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'd say, you know, I walk through almost every day. I'll do a walk through just to see how things are going, get a general feel for it, so that when Peggy gives me a presentation on how the fair went, and I say, well, that's not what I felt.
Yeah.
You know,
you felt 140-something degrees coming out of the asphalt, didn't you?
It was really warm, yeah. So stuff like that. But otherwise, I mean, it's really because we don't have an administrator, and there's probably a lot of things that you guys don't see that is done, and I think we're going to need to start, you know, it's going to be, you guys are going to...
Well, the 18th and 19th is my 50-year class reunion.
Wow.
Well, 50 doesn't mean much. Yeah. 70, 80, now we're talking. I'm just kidding. No, that's...
We have a 50-year class reunion, and I will attend.
That's amazing.
Mary Grove says, oh, you can't. That's Fair Week. Yeah, that's Fair Week. And I said, Mary, I don't care.
Yeah.
Maybe some of our classmates would like to go to the fair. Wouldn't that be special?
Yep.
Then come home to their 50-year class reunion and go to the county fair. That's the way I'm looking at it. I'm not
fun.
Looking at it like the fair is going to get in the way of my reunion.
No.
Ain't going to happen.
If it makes you feel any better, it's my mom's 40th.
Cool.
This summer, too. So.
We have two things that I need to recommend.
Go ahead. I had one more thing for you, and my apologies. Want to let you both know that we received notification today that we've been issued our core grants for the West Hangar Access Taxi Lane, the East Side Parallel Taxiway Project, and the Airport Improvement Triple Play Project. Three of the core grants that were being held up because of the Judicial Department,
yeah.
They've granted
Great.
Today.
Great.
So
that's
kind of
excellent.
A good thing.
Elected officials, I feel like we used to have biannual reports, like our departments, to come in, let us know how your program's going. We appropriate these funds, sometimes a lot of general funds, sometimes not. I wouldn't mind if we extended an invitation. They don't work for us. We just appropriate their funds. But I think that would be really helpful, that if maybe we could call them in on a biannual basis. It doesn't need to be quarterly like the programs. But does that sound something reasonable?
We have the elected officials luncheon once a month, but I don't know how well attended that is. I've been to a couple, three of them, and you know, I don't think Ryan Mulkins has been to any of them.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Tricia there all the time. She
mm-hmm.
was always there, and I was there. Eve's always been there.
I think the tenor of those is supposed to be a little bit more social.
Supposed to be laid back.
I want to know, how are you doing in your budget? How's your staffing levels? Are there policies that we have that are not helping... that are not helpful for you? What's coming down the pike in the second half of the year that we should be aware of? I knew that this was going to happen, this mapping, organ mapping thing. It was in the queue, something I was aware of as liaison. And I think the full board ought to know, kind of have a better idea of what's going on.
How are we coming in? Is there any update on the letter to the Governor on DA?
I didn't finish that. I think now would be a perfect time.
Did we stop paying them on July 1?
No. It was in our budget that we approved to pay the DA.
But we need to have the ongoing conversations.
I think so. It's like the Douglas County Public Health deal.
That was big. I think that's
We had got the edits. There was a request to kind of pause to...
I was going to reach out to Carmen Ford.
Correct. So he was reaching out to a liaison. But it came up on my radar this morning as something I wanted to follow up, so I'm glad you brought it up because I forgot.
And the conversation I did have with Carmen Ford was on the core grant stuff. It wasn't actually on the DA. I didn't get to that. So.
But you got the core grant thing done, so...
No, that just... She did pick up the phone that day. I'm sure of it.
It's typical of state government. If you don't keep hammering at it, they go, you don't just... Ignore them and they'll just go away. They'll forget about it and go off to something else. Yeah. I think that's very
well. And the state is looking at it. I've been asked several times, how's that going? By other counties.
That's a huge deal.
Regarding the elected officials, I do want to do that.
Okay.
Remind me to bring up CJ too before we're done. Even our quarterly calendar appears to be off. It'd be nice to kind of know who's coming when.
Yeah.
I know this is something that will be on our new chief admin executive schedule as far as kind of clarifying and getting some of that a little more defined.
People's schedules get off, and then the way this has developed over time, when I first took office, we had three departments that were in the red significantly multi-year who reported every month. Mm-hmm. And we don't have any in the red anymore. So we before you guys got here, we weren't doing that. So it's everybody's on a quarterly.
But not
schedule.
Just so much about the financial. One of the things I think we really need to be more intentional of us as a group being a part of is our economic development.
Mm-hmm.
And as that committee is being developed, community development has so many branches.
Yeah.
I'd almost want them monthly. And
I don't think that's such a bad idea. I have not felt the connection with that manager the way I was hoping for economic development. I mean, we've had that proposed budget for her for 6 months, and I'm not really sure where it's at. I know the first meeting of the committee is on July 17th, and I'm gonna go to that. It isn't convenient. I wasn't consulted about which day it was going to be, but I'll make it happen.
You want me to tell you what they're going to say?
Well,
I've been to a number of the economic development committee meetings, and I can tell you where
I'm probably going to start.
Okay.
It's my committee. It's our committee.
Yeah.
It's the city's committee. So I'm not really sure I'm interested in what anybody else has to say. Not necessarily you.
No,
I mean them.
No,
this is why you're here. This is why this committee exists.
Yeah, you have set the tone.
Yeah, I think, we inherited a less than stellar economic development plan, and it's frankly their responsibility to come up with a proposal to amend that in a way that actually says something that's tangible, has outcomes, deliverables, because really you're giving them $300,000-$400,000. We're not giving it to them, but it's kind of like, well, what would you do with it? What's the best bang for the buck? How do we improve our employment rates and quality of workforce and stuff like that? Because I think the system that we have right now is only keeping us afloat. It's not making any positive progress. No. And if we're not,
since I've been here,
we're not keeping up with the Joneses, so we're losing ground, frankly.
I go to Roseburg every once in a while, and I was just in Roseburg last weekend, and I just sat around just looking at Roseburg. And when we were growing up, Roseburg was basically dying on the vine. Mm-hmm. You didn't want to go to Roseburg. You wanted to go to the Rogue Valley. Roseburg, you never even thought about it. And then you go up to Roseburg now, and you see Roseburg has leapfrogged over Grants Pass dramatically. And we have all the tools here. They don't. And what did they do different? What did they do?
The thing that bothers me is city
building and planning and everything get out of everybody's way?
The branding element for the viticulture industry just bothers me that it's not good wine up there. It's better down here. Why are they branded? It really bothers me.
They partnered with UCC.
Yeah. Two things. So I did the first one. The second one is we need to get clarification from the board. I feel like we had this discussion, but it wasn't ever codified in minutes we can find about an excavator being shared. Really, facilities is buying it out of equipment reserve, and it's going to be utilized by forestry, parks, and facilities. we just did a $70,000 project out at Schroeder, and a lot of it was digging ditches. And we didn't have an excavator, and we probably could have done some of that work in-house. So there's projects that I've been told from forestry and parks and facilities all the time that would utilize a small Bobcat excavator.
And we don't have one? Or
not,
do Public Works have one?
Public Works has one. And
Public Works has
different.
Big stuff, I think.
Yeah, okay. They're not as small. This one fits in the back of that tandem axle trailer that John mm-hmm. uses for landscaping and stuff.
So more of a spot deal than anything else.
Yeah, so anyway, they've found a really good one. It's been inspected by a mechanic, but and facilities has the resources to do it. I don't have it in a minute that it's okay to purchase that. So
I don't remember the conversation coming up.
Yeah, I think it might have had taken place at a property meeting where we were talking about, you know, getting one with a thumb that we could clean up some of our inherited properties, you know, with the trash and save money there. Because we try to make an effort of getting it presentable, marketable, ready to purchase. And so Brian's in charge of that, and he says, all I do is I hire somebody to do it, and the money goes in their pocket, and it comes out of ours. And he could send somebody out there and in a couple of hours fill one of those dumpsters with a excavator with a thumb, stuff like that. So
I don't want to create a position because we have an excavator.
No.
If we have an excavator and it's in-house, and okay, we get stuff done tomorrow instead of getting it done.
Yep.
Put it out to bed and go through all the process and get it next week. But I'm a private sector person. Another thing that's always bothered me is because there's and it's overlooked a lot of times. The irrigation district has a huge amount of resources, and they're just shoved aside. You know, now we want to talk to you. Don't worry about it. But like Don Miller out there, he said, you know, I can. He did a project up here on the A Street,
mm-hmm.
and it was burying a 62-inch irrigation main up there, and they were done in 3 or 4 days, and our guys had been 2 months on that, and that's where I'm going. I don't know if. You know, there's a lot of times I don't think we utilize the resources that we have right here in the valley. We always think that everybody's got to have a fire truck, everybody
yeah.
has to have a dump truck, everybody has to have...
I think that's the positive thing about facilities not intending to buy it for themselves alone.
Right.
It's really
if there's three
parks
that
and forestry.
And so on and so forth. I'm not against it.
Okay.
I'm not against it. But I do want us to consider, you know, when somebody... makes an offer to help, and this is another thing I'm going to get with Mr. Brandis about and Don Miller. For some reason, Rob Brandis just doesn't even think Irrigation District is in the room when it comes to...
That's strange. Just got a cramp in my leg. Jeez.
He's okay.
Yeah.
Tell the machine you're all right.
I will survive.
But anyway, I'm going to have a conversation with him because those two seem to be at opposite ends of the of the ring, and they shouldn't be. They should be working together because they crisscross each other numerous places throughout the valley.
Yeah.
Well, airports has had a request a couple times, and it's equipment Public Works can have, but there's concerns of, oh, only these people are approved to drive, only, you know, it's like...
Well, that's important. You know, you wouldn't want just anybody, but at the same time, if
true.
It was paid for with gas tax dollars, it should not be utilized to do off-road types of activities, which
mm-hmm.
all of parks, all of facilities, and all of forestry...
That is.
Is outside of that wheelhouse, and I think that's the nexus of why you can't, why it's not easily using a Public Works equipment that was purchased with. So,
but I think there'd be a way to do internal agreements between departments that there'd be charging for cost or different things that would
maybe.
Still be cheaper to our taxpayers. Make sure the right person has the right training,
right,
and not utilize going to rent something or going to go buy another piece when it could be maybe.
I think the other thing would be the priority.
True.
Public Works is going to want it, even if it's just sitting there just in case. I don't know. I'm only speculating. But I know having it in facilities makes a lot of sense, and it's a purchase that I endorse. You know?
Well, I want to take those case by case because there's an awful lot of times the private sector could do things a lot faster and quicker and not have to go through all the hassle.
Yeah, I've talked to a couple of people who are... guy who purchased hay from me this last weekend, my parents' place, and he's slammed. You couldn't get him for a couple weeks, and I said that's great. You know, I'm really excited about that. But the industry's really the new industry. You know, so if Ryan needs to do something, he's going to have to get in the queue like everybody else. And so that was one of the, Ryan and I had a long conversation about the merits of why this needs to happen as opposed to doing exactly
this. Isn't a quarter of $1 million purchase, right?
No, it's 28,000. Yeah, it's a lot less than one of y'all's chippers. So
that's all you had.
I won't ever forget. Or Commissioner Heck and Walker's purchase of $50,000 pickup trucks at each of our airports. Couldn't share one of those. So yeah, that's my purchases are cheap.
Well, Public Works and get a free truck from Avista Utilities.
Oh.
So they got a 2008 or 2010 quad cab, four-wheel drive Ford pickup, had less than 100,000 miles on it. It was a gift from Avista Utilities.
Cool. Anything else?
One more. One thing. So we had stopped doing our town halls in Cave Junction in coordination with the city council. There was concerns about public meeting laws, how they were being taken, no minutes and notifications. And I had reached out to the mayor, at first this former city recorder and then the mayor, about having us actually be put on their city council agenda and quarterly go to a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
The first issue that presented was they meet on the second Monday of the month regularly. Well, that was AOC Monday, so there's an issue of us getting back from Salem. And once in a while, they will call a special meeting on the fourth Monday of the month. So that was my request specifically to them, that they call a special meeting on the fourth Monday of the month, that we come and join them. And since they allow public meeting or public comment in their meetings, we would be a part of the meeting. It took some time. The mayor got back to me this last month, and his request was kind of to do the town meeting beforehand and then follow with the meeting. And it got lost in my email shuffle. I responded back to him saying, no, our hope was to actually join your meeting. And so I'm waiting to hear back. But the potential is that this month would be the quarterly fourth Monday, which is 2 weeks from yesterday, or 2 weeks from this last Monday. I won't be there because I'll be at camp. So, but
I see how you work.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do that on that schedule, but I'm still
waiting. You didn't think
we'd
draw that conclusion? I'm just kidding.
Hey, camp is working.
Just because I talk slow doesn't mean I...
Tuesday.
No, I think we need to talk about having an evening weekly business section, actually, out there. So it might be,
one of the things too, yeah.
It might be similar, but instead of it being their meeting we join, maybe they join our meeting. The relevance, I think, of importance that we're dealing with countywide issues that obviously includes the city. The city may be dealing with city issues that doesn't never necessarily have a nexus with the county. So it might actually work really well if we could invite them to our meeting.
We could be the host, and then it's not a requirement that they're there. Or
no.
They notice it or whatever. They
just
can,
an opportunity to engage.
Yeah.
And the first item on the agenda could be that engagement. I think what they're maybe not wanting to do is either have us sitting around for stuff that isn't relevant for the county, or the same thing, or them sitting around, you know. But
well,
I thought
I'd bring it back to y'all.
I think it's a great
validated
suggestion. I think we're all tracking on the same direction.
So we need to make sure
especially
to schedule a weekly business session out there.
Yeah.
If you're available.
I may be in 2019.
I don't mind doing it. I think at the end of the month, that makes sense. If we could get it in the queue and there, would you mind coordinating what if you know, especially because you're not going to be there, at least you could coordinate it for us. Would you mind reaching out to the mayor, because you've already done that, and say, how does that sound?
That's
ours,
where we're at right now. I had recommended
Our WBS wouldn't be on a Monday, though. We
no.
would invite them to our special meeting on a
Wednesday
at 6. I've had a conversation with a couple previous commissioners about why we pick 5:30, and I don't really, we inherited that. It makes no sense to me. I thought 6 o'clock makes more sense.
It does.
Whatever.
That does.
What if we focused our August 9th meeting, which is our normal weekly business session?
Okay.
I'm not looking at a calendar when I'm saying that, but our August 9th is our evening weekly business session. What if we looked at doing that at our county building?
Yeah, I think we could definitely look at it for sure.
And then it gives us enough time to advertise, make sure we put something in the Illinois Valley News and kind of saying we're going to hold our, and do we have the ability to get it televised out there? Is that something that RVTD or IT can assist with?
I'll check in with IT. We'll find out if John can do that.
So if it doesn't work to do the Monday the 24th at their city council meeting, that if we focused on the August 9th weekly business session.
Yeah. Is August the first month that we try this out? I mean, Fed's practically shut down in August. State's done. It just, people are busy. They're distracted.
We don't have to. We can wait.
It's just our
next one available.
I think it's fine. Let's just do it as soon as we get it.
We're there.
Yeah.
You know.
Look, I've had conversations with people out in the Illinois Valley, and they're really kind of jazzed at the idea that we would come out there for a meeting. So
that meeting I went to the other night, they were all saying, "Gee, is there any chance of getting all three commissioners out here to a meeting?" And I said, "We're looking to schedule, maybe a quarterly meeting out in the Valley."
I think that makes a lot of sense. I have to use the restroom, so are we almost.
Yeah, that was the last thing on my agenda was just to bring up CJGL.
Yeah.
So we're not focusing on August 9th, or we are?
It's up to Commissioner Dion.
What, August?
Oh, you're here in August 9th.
I'm here August 9th.
Well, let's do it.
I think August 9th, let's try it.
Let's do it. Is that a Monday?
We don't want to put it off.
Wednesday, our normal weekly business session schedule.
Awesome.
All right.
Nothing further. We're adjourned at 10:50. Are we doing a general discussion this afternoon?
I don't have anything.
Do you?
I'm here.
Yeah.
But if you don't need it, if you want it.
I do, but I don't think there's anything.
If I check in and then we have an agenda item, we'll be, but if not.
Okay, I'll be available.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I'll be around.
Sounds good. We're adjourned at 10:50.